if somebody said, hey, Nick, you won an award, I need you to walk across stage, my answer would be great. My entire team needs to be there and we're walking across together. Because I don't need to walk across the stage. I didn't do all this. They did it all. We did it together. We're all going.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm excited for today's guest, Nick Waldner. He's been in real estate for 18 years, but there's been quite a change in his world. In the last 4 years, his team's jumped from 40 sales a year to over 400 sales a year. Number one team in Maryland and DC. He spent 12 years struggling just to sell 40 homes a year, and then his business took off. So we're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about what changes he's made, what changes in his mindset occurred to experience such rapid growth. You may have seen him. He starred in the hit television show, Waterfront House Hunting. He shot episodes all over the country, helping people find their waterfront dream home. He loves to travel. He's an adventure nut. He's surfed. He skydives, bungee jumps, scuba dives, hikes. He's just done it all, but nothing beats. He's got two terrific sons. And so nothing beats that and sharing time with them and his wife. So I'm excited to have him here. Nick, how are you?
Yeah, appreciate the intro. It's funny being on the other side and listening to all that. But yeah, accumulation of 42 years, I guess it all adds up.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Tell me, I love this conversation because I've been in the industry 18 years. I got my start in traditional real estate side. And so we've started about the same time. We're the exact same age, even though you look 2 decades younger than me. So tell me, what was your entry point to the industry? How did you even get started?
Yeah, so I was in the franchise sales world working for Cold Stone Creamery, if you guys know the ice cream franchise.
Oh, yeah.
And I was part of an area developer group. So we were selling the franchises in Maryland, DC, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And it was like right at the gangbuster time where that thing was blowing up. And we were opening like 50 franchises a year for about 2 years. And that was phenomenal. And I remember my mentor of probably 7 years at that point, the majority owner of our company, the one who had got my start in another company and kind of mentored me all the way through, he started having some discretions, even though he's married, 3 kids, he started doing some things I wasn't behind. And I went in, I talked to him and I said, look, you got to stop that. And he was running around with one of the girls we work with. And he was like, look, it's none of your business. Get out of here and just do your job. And that was the exact moment I thought, if you're going to do that to your family, eventually you're going to do it to me. I'm out. So I sold everything back. I handed everything back and said, buy me out. I just want fair market. And I took everything and left and was like, what am I going to do now? I know real estate. I've spent the last 2 years running around the real estate world. Maybe I'll get into that. And I jumped into residential real estate.
Yeah. What led you to residential versus commercial? Because Cold Stone Creamery, you're a little closer to the commercial side, not a little closer. You were in the commercial side.
For me, like the commercial side was everything was so long. Like you found a property. I like it. Let's open up a store. Great. Let's give it 8 months. Let's give it a year. Let's give it 2 years. Everything was so elongated. And at the time, I didn't realize that elongation meant you could really build wealth over time. And I looked at it as like, I want to go, 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 go. I had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I was like, well, I'm just going to buy rental properties. Robert Kiyosaki said, buy rental properties. I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. And what better way to do it than to put myself in a position that I understand? That was the push towards residential.
So you got a residential and started selling. Talk to me about the first year. What was that like?
Man, not first year, probably first 11 years, for 10, 11 years. Yeah. I got there. I was 23 at the time or something. I was young. And I looked up and thought, how am I going to be the most successful agent here? And it was very clear. Debbie's 75 years old. She's been doing it for 74 years and she's been the number one producer. Debbie, how do you do it? Oh, that's easy, Nick. I show up at the office every day at 7 a.m. I work till 5 p.m. Then I run clients till 7 or 8 p.m. every Saturday. I have 3 to 4 client appointments every Sunday. I run an open house. And on Monday, I do it again. And I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I can remember several girlfriends that we were having, like the first one, we're having a heated discussion. And that goes. And then she stormed out, got to the front door, turned around and said, "All you care about is work. All you do is work. You're a terrible boyfriend." And she slammed the door. And I thought, she's crazy. And then my next girlfriend, heated discussion. She starts storming to the door, gets to the door, turns around. "You only care about work. All you do is work. You're a terrible boyfriend and you're going to make a terrible husband." She slams the door and I'm like, she's crazy. So I'm not very bright. It takes like three times before it kicks in. The fourth or the third time, as soon as that girlfriend started marching towards the door, I thought, oh, I know exactly what's going on. I could even tell you what she's going to say.
Yeah.
But she got to the door and she said, "All you care about is work. All you do is work. You're a terrible boyfriend. You're going to make a terrible husband and you're going to be a terrible father."
Mm.
And I was like, "Ooh, wow." That was the one when that door slammed, it was like, whoa. And my entire passion is my two boys and being there to be part of their life and coach their sports and all that stuff. So to me, like that was the moment where 11 years of following Debbie's advice of work 24 hours a day to be number one. And I was selling about 40 homes a year. I was like, this sounds crazy. If I want to get married, if I want to have kids, if I want to start a life, I certainly don't want to have that life where I'm working 24 hours a day and I have a wife and kid. They just happen to be home always.
Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batchleads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. Do you think that has a lot to do with you? Is it a lot to do with the industry and how it, the structure, meaning you're an independent business owner, you can choose the hours that you work. And as a result, realtors choose to work every hour.
Yeah. And the reason we choose to work every hour is because we think the ultimate goal is the paycheck.
Right.
So we actually just cheat time by using more of it.
Correct.
And if you only have a finite amount of time to do something, you are going to be much more productive. But you give a bunch of realtors 24 hours in a day, we're going to use all 24 of them just about every day.
Yeah. Work expands to fill the time.
Exactly. And until you get out of that mindset where I had an income that I wanted to make and I had a time limit that I wanted to keep. And they were always fighting with each other. And I could easily get to my income goal if I cheated on my time goal, but I did not want to cheat on my time.
All right. So talk to me. You burn 11 years, not burn. I mean, use the 11 years doing it, Debbie's.
You're right. I burned 11 years. I wish I would have started this earlier.
Listen, I literally walked your exact path. So I can fully appreciate exactly what you're describing here. So you burn 11 years, follow Debbie's advice, and girlfriend tells you you're going to make a poor father. At that point, you decide to make a change. What was the change you made?
Yeah. So I went back to education. Like my thought was, all right, there's something I don't know. There's something I don't understand. There's got to be somebody who knows it. I'm not very bright. So I'm much more of a, if you show me how to do something, I can do it. But I'm not going to come up with the idea. So I'm like, all right, somebody else has got to have done this. So I started looking and I came across Gary Keller's book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, which if you haven't read it, I don't care what company you're with, that is the book to understand how to build a real estate business. And I read that book and I was with RE/MAX at the time. And I was like, wow, this is it. So I went back to RE/MAX and said, hey, I want to hire somebody. And they were like, you're 27 years old, 20, 30 years old, whatever I was. Like, Debbie's been here for 75 years. She doesn't hire anybody. What are you talking about? And I was like, what do you mean? So I started going to trainings. I started going to educational stuff. I started going to masterminds. In fact, and this is all while I was with RE/MAX, and I found out that Gary Keller had a private mastermind with his top 100 agents in the company. And they spent 3 hours digging into each other's businesses and learning how to grow them. And I'm like, that's what I want to be a part of. Yep. Now, their production level was here. My production level was somewhere around here. It's not a room I was going to get in. So I went to a conference and I waited for Gary to come out of a room when I knew his next room was that 3-hour conversation with his top people. So as soon as I saw him, I ran up next to him, stood next to him. As he's walking, I'm talking as fast as I can. Yep. Hi, Gary. My name is Nick Waldner. I just started selling real estate for 11 years, but now I feel like I truly understand it after reading your book. I know you're about to go in this room and talk to your top 300 people. Is there any way I could just sit in the back and learn? I won't say a word. I'll be a fly in the wall. I'll just be in the back. And we got to the door and he said, that was enough for me. I was like, okay, great. I got inside. They all started talking. I started writing. And then I looked up and I was like, I don't understand anything that they're saying. So then I got the idea, all right, forget trying to write what they're saying. Let me just write down who says it. So every time somebody spoke, I would write down their name and then I would go to social media. I would find them, friend request them. This is all when I got home, friend request them. Then I'd reach out to them. Hey, you mentioned this in Gary's event. What did you mean by that? And hey, can you share this with me? And I started reaching out to 30 or 40 agents that had spoken up in this thing. And you got to remember, there's a trust triangle. So if you trust me and I trust you and you introduce me to somebody, I automatically trust that person because I trust you. So it's that triangle effect. Well, when I said I was in the room when you said this and that's Gary, right, blah, 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 immediately they're like, oh yeah, he must belong there.
Correct.
So I got immediate trust. People opened up and shared, and everybody's very sharing anyway, but I didn't know that going in. I came from a world where like everyone kept everything to themselves.
That's right.
So everybody shared, everybody. And I just grew and grew and grew through those relationships. Through, I did that with Gary 3 more times where I snuck in and sat in the back. And the 5th time I tried to do it, somebody caught me, his assistant at the time, put her hand on my chest and said, wait a minute, I know you, I know what you're going to say, you're not getting in. And I was like, oh. And then I called everybody on my list that I had talked to and said, can you put in a good word for me and get me in that room? Yep. And like 50 people called her and said, hey, I think Nick Waldner should be in this room. And that's how I actually got in prior to having the production or anything. I mean, I was the low man on the totem pole, and now I'm somewhere in the top 10%.
Incredible. What I take away from that is, well, a whole bunch of things, but the fact that you were able to identify people walk before you, and then you want to learn from the best. You want to learn how to do something. You want to learn from somebody who's already been there, already done that. You Yep. don't need to reinvent the wheel. And certainly, whether you're investing, it doesn't really matter, or in the real estate agent world, it really comes down to doing the same thing over and over again and being really, really good at it. These aren't single paydays. It's about a business of excellence and continuing to build and grow.
Yeah. And you make the mistake of like, the person I looked up to first was 74-year-old Debbie.
Yeah.
And that's who I followed. She did it before me, so I followed her. So I think we have to be very careful that you have to pick your profits. I mean that in both sense of the word profits.
Yeah.
So when I changed to, all right, I'm going to listen to Gary, I'm going to follow that model, it changed completely compared to the Debbie's model.
Fair to say that when you made that decision, you better understood yourself.
100%. I better understood where I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. My original thought is I want money,
right?
Because I think I'll support my family. And then I realized I don't want money. I want money and a lifestyle.
Correct.
And I want the satisfaction and I want time and I want weekends and I want evenings and all the things you're supposed to not have in real estate. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. So talk to me, bring me to current. What's the team structure look like? I'm curious just to go from Debbie model 1.0 to Nick 2.0, where you're at today. We didn't have anybody. Now you've got a team of people.
Now I've got 6 full-time employees, a runner and a virtual assistant. I've got 16 total agents. And of the 16, only about 12 of them, or maybe even 11 of them, were in production last year. So they're all just starting to ramp up their production. We've got goals of about 550 this year. And last year was our best year ever, as most of us were.
Sure.
Last year, this time, I think we had 65 under contract or sold. And this year we have like 140. So we're already well on pace to have another incredible year. And it is 100% because instead of one person having a better year and us going up 5%, I now have five or six agents that are all having their best year ever, five or six that are doing as well as last year. And all of a sudden, the numbers go much more rapidly as we grow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, looking forward, let's talk about 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. What's it look like for you?
Yeah, great question. So I think one of the hardest things in our role is realizing that we're not the best person for it. So even though I've built this and I've spent all my time in this, I know that there is somebody who's smarter than me that I could hire and put them in a role and me become more of an advisor and they can run this more efficiently, more professionally, and they can work on this as a business and I can advise from further away because I know what I'm great at. I know what I'm not good at. And I'm not good at the everyday, making sure everything is in order. I'm much more of a 30,000 foot view person. Yeah. So for me, it's finding that person that's going to take over and run the day-to-day operations so that I can focus on really the future, the 5 and 10 year vision moving forward from there.
You mentioned Kiyosaki.
Yeah.
Did you buy a rental home?
Oh man, did I ever. I haven't stopped buying rental properties. I'm a huge fan of it, I think. And obviously anybody who bought one before this big, huge rise up thinks the same thing. When inflation rises, so does hard assets. Yep. So every one of us that own rental properties or syndications or multifamily or commercial, all that stuff, it all has gone up in value. So when I was young, my goal was, can I buy one house every 2 or 3 years? Yeah. And then it was one house a year. And now it's been like, I had a son, great, 529 plan, no thank you. I'm going to buy a rental property and put a 15-year mortgage on it. And then every time I get the opportunity now, I'm partnering and buying property to keep growing that portfolio and building that passive income stream.
Yeah. What's one habit that's attributed to your success that you cannot live without?
Oh, that's a good one. I think probably the one that has the biggest impact is my morning routine. I'm up every morning at right before 5. Like I set my alarm for 5 o'clock, but my clock is set 4 minutes fast. So it's like 4:56. Even though I know it, I still do it that way.
I do the same thing. Yes.
I get up, I get some of my vitamins and fish oil and all that stuff in me. I go straight to the gym. I work out. I come back. I just have an entire routine in my morning that by 7:30, I'm like fully dressed, showered, kids are fed and clothed, and I'm ready to go and I can start my day. Where I think a lot of people are getting out of bed and grabbing a cup of coffee and taking their time. By the time they actually get up and running, it might be 9 or 9:30. And so I've got a 2-hour head start on any of them every day.
They wake up behind.
Yeah.
Thinking back to your childhood, what's something that you experienced as a child that has shaped you, molded you as a man today, has impacted who you are?
Yeah, it's those visceral moments that we can remember vividly. We can't remember anything about that year, but we remember that one time. I think one of the big ones for me was I played soccer my entire youth. Like I grew up, I was on soccer teams and travel teams and blah, 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 blah. And I had the impression that I must be pretty good at this. Sure. So when I went to high school, we had a very good high school team. And my freshman year, I got cut from the team. And I was like, but I'm a soccer player. What do I do? And that was a great, great, great example for me to realize, how much work are you putting into this? How much practice are you doing? How often? So then I decided I want to be an athlete in high school. I'm going to play lacrosse. And if you guys aren't on the East Coast or you don't know what lacrosse is, it's this crazy sport with sticks and we hit each other. And I had never played it before. So here I am, a freshman in high school, season starts in 3 months. And I'm like, I want to play. So I worked hard. I practiced. I just put a lot of effort into it. I made the team barely because my skills weren't there. But I think they were like, oh, he's a little bit bigger. He'll probably grow even bigger. Let's just try him. And by senior year, I was the starting attackman. I was the captain of the team. I was leading scorer. Like I had all the accolades that I thought I would have in soccer, but I had them in lacrosse because that's where I put my time and energy and effort. And that's where I worked hard. And just like great story. Then I got accepted to Salisbury University, which is a little school in the Eastern Shore of Maryland. They were Division III, so smaller school, but Division III national championships in lacrosse, like 7 out of the last 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, like just powerhouse lacrosse school. So I go, I get the letters and I'm going to go to practice and all that. And I'm thinking leading scorer, captain, blah, 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 blah. And I got there and looked around and went, holy crap, I am not good enough to be here. And it was like, it's just a constant reminder to stay humble. Yep. You have to work hard and your plan in life doesn't always follow the direction you think it's going to go. So I think that has really stuck with me for a long, long time. So even today, I'm always waiting for me to walk into a room and go, holy crap, everyone's so much better than me. What can I learn?
Yeah. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That is a tremendous attitude to be able to have, because when you have that attitude, knowing that growth comes on the other side of uncomfortable, being in an environment just like you did, a fly on the wall, being there, there's a lot to learn. Yeah. Tremendous runway to be able to fly.
And it's so much easier. The best thing about a runway is it's very clear where you're going. Like, okay, this is my path. Right. I don't have to worry about going in all these other directions. I just go straight and put my head down. And that only comes from having someone to model, someone to follow, someone to learn from. You go down the path that they've already carved for you.
Yeah, absolutely right. Let's move into what I call the final segment, four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, it's great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team. Steve Jobs said it. Why does that resonate with you so much?
I think it's because like anytime somebody gives me an accolade about our team or our success or how many homes we sold or anything like that, like there's no doubt in my mind that none of that is because of me alone, that every single person added up as part of the team, people showing up every day, people willing to be uncomfortable, willing to dive into personal growth, willing to push past their insecurities. Like it's such a culmination of everybody that I just think it's insane. If somebody said, hey, Nick, you won an award, I need you to walk across stage, my answer would be great. My entire team needs to be there and we're walking across together because I don't need to walk across the stage. I didn't do all this. They did it all. We did it together. We're all going. And it happened a few times and I've just said, no, we're all walking or no one's walking. That's my philosophy.
Well, it speaks volumes to your leadership. And when you can do it in a collaborative style, it's not top down. It's us together. They'll do just about anything for you.
Yeah. And my team knows that everything we do, no matter what it is, it's only as good until somebody shows us a better option. We're never like, well, no, this is the way we do it. My question is always like, well, how do you say? All right, how is it better than here? It is. Okay, great. Let's move to that. Let's try that. Let's go that way.
What do you think holds most real estate investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it comes down to the boredom of lead generation.
The
mundane. If you're looking for multifamily, are you every day calling 5 or 10 property management companies and creating a relationship and putting yourself in the position that if somebody from their group decides to sell, you're the first person they call? Do you know how boring and frustrating and slow moving that is? You could literally build 20, 30, 40, 50 relationships and not get a single call about a house to sell, or I'm sorry, a multifamily to buy or anything like that. Which means it feels like I haven't done anything. I just wasted 6 months building 50 relationships. And then all of a sudden you get that first call.
Right.
And the only reason you got that call is because you stuck with the boredom of the lead generation. And if you're like, I don't want to be the lead generator, then who are you hiring to do it for you? Who are you inspiring and giving a piece of the win? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the simpleness of success. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. It's not like this magical thing that you do and everything gets better. It's like the boring stuff that you do every day, day in, day out, that produces zero results. All of a sudden something shows up and you're like, oh my God, this came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. It came out of all the effort you put in prior.
It's got to be habitual though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I'd say the kids. I mean, I got two boys. I've always wanted sons. Now with two boys, all I want is a daughter. We're going to have a third. We're not pregnant yet. So we're just doing the fun part and trying. But like, to me, my son and I loved golf and I'm not very good at it. I just picked that up about 2 years ago, but I like to try things that I'm not very good at. So then I got a coach and I started going and practicing. I'm starting to get a little bit better. And I wanted him, like I picture him in the future wanting to golf with me.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows about being a father, like just because you want it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
That's true. Yeah, that's right.
So I took him to a sporting goods store and we picked out a putter and I told him, what color balls do you want? And we went to a putting green and we putted around and I only let him putt for about 10 minutes. And I said, hey, buddy, we have to go. And he was like, go. I want to keep going. I'm like, I'm sorry. And I drug him off of the putting green. And then every day he says, hey, can we go to the putting green again? Saturday, we have our first quasi lesson. I mean, he's about to turn 4. So we're not talking Tiger Woods style here, more like a program designed for 3 to 7 year olds that's all just like playing and enjoying it. And yeah, so I'm really pumped to kind of get him into that and create that bond. And if he says, gosh, Dad, I hate golf and I want to learn how to play the guitar, then I guess we're going to buy 2 guitars and I'm going to learn how to play because I don't know how to play. But if whatever he wants to do and whatever his brother wants to do, that's where I'll be. And that's probably what I'm most passionate about outside of work.
No, it's great. You're finding ways, whether it's your passion or their passions, right? To get connected. And certainly that's
lifelong. Show up where they are. And
that's right.
Sometimes they want to be where you are, which is golf. That'd be great. But if it's not, it's not.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Oh, that's a good one. So we give back every year in a couple different ways. And one of the biggest ones that impacts me personally, we partner with Ronald McDonald House, which if you don't know, that is a house that literally was built just to house people whose kids are going through cancer treatments or something like that in the local hospital. And there, Johns Hopkins is a big hospital here in Baltimore. Yeah. And people fly from all over the country to have their kids seen there. But if you think about it, if you came for treatment, you had to be here for 3 or 4 months, that's a hefty hotel bill.
Correct.
So the Ronald McDonald House gives them a place to live while their kids are going through therapy. So we partner with them. We partner with Johns Hopkins Children's Center, and we donate gifts for Christmas. We gave 350 kids gifts for Christmas this year. And like just all the things that we go to do there, that's really impactful for me. I feel like we're really making a difference in a time when it's really, really rough for the family. So anything we can do to make that a little bit better. And then 2 weeks, we're going to a place called Barks, which is dog rescue. And we're going to clean out the cages, take them for walks, play with them, put them on social media, see if we can help get some that kind of passion that just, I don't really care what it is. If I feel like I'm making an impact and helping, I'll be part of it. I'm good.
No, that's terrific. Well, I sincerely appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to connect up here and beyond. It's a great story. And I think it's, and I've heard Gary speak several times. I like you. I mean, he's a terrific role model. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom there.
Yeah.
And you've emulated that by taking models that work for other folks, that you thinking that through, knowing thyself about what the intended outcome is and putting a model in place that has been there, done that, stand the test of time, and you're reaping the rewards of that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was a good soccer player and I realized I wasn't. I thought I was a great lacrosse player. I realized I wasn't. The last thing I'm going to do is think I'm a great real estate agent and not be prepared for when I realize I'm not.
Right. There's always something new to learn.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's great. I sincerely appreciate the time. If people want to connect with you, follow you, find you online, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Facebook is, I think, Waldner Nick. My Instagram is Nick Waldner. I'm on LinkedIn, which I don't use very often. Those are probably the easiest ways, or you can just go to nickwaldner.com and you have my email and text message and anything you want to send that way. All that's there. I mean, I'm not very well hidden and that's kind of by design, but I can tell you that 99% of your listeners will never call me and never ask for anything. And about 1% will, and they'll reach me and I'll be able to help them. And it's just a matter of who's looking for help. And
you're totally right. And that's what it takes. Reach out, take the next step. We'll make sure we get the links posted in the show notes so that way they can more easily connect with you. Hey, I appreciate the time. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.